What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And we're just putting up an article on whatreallyhappened.com where the Russian government has called out Secretary of Defense Mattis because Mattis made a comment that the United States has a mandate to operate in Syria from the United Nations. There's only one problem with that. And that is the fact that there is no mandate from the United Nations for the U.S. to be operating in Syria. There's no Security Council resolution. It's of dubious legality anyway. And I guess what Mattis is going to say, well, what I meant to say is I self-identify as a Secretary of Defense who has a mandate from the United Nations, and that makes it okay. He's delusional. Or he's just flat out lying again. It's just amazing. Now then, article coming out of Sputnik News. Red Star, White Star, why the Lockheed F-35 should fear Russia's Su-35. And they're basically talking about how these two platforms compare with each other. And the Sukhoi-35 flies higher and faster and can outmaneuver the F-35. Now, it might have a challenge against the F-22 if they can ever fix the breathing problems, or the F-15C is still a capable fighter. But the F-35 is just this big, lumbering hulk, and its advantage is it's supposed to be very, very stealthy, where the Sukhoi 35 is not. But that's about it. But it's already being deployed out there, and it's not complete. When you see an F-35 on the runway or the flight deck out there, it's not really a working combat weapon. They still don't have the software for the onboard gun. They've made up for it with a belly mount gun pod, which makes it slower and heavier. The firmware for the aircraft itself is still not in the final combat version. Still testing and evaluating. Can't fly in the fog, can't fly in the rain, can't fly near lightning. Even Israel is saying this thing really isn't worth the money. And it continues a pattern of America's weapons looking very impressive and costing a lot of money, but not really being effective when put to the test. And I think Donald Trump's cruise missile attack on the Syrian airfield was a major wake-up call. They launched 60 cruise missiles. One failed coming out of the tube. And of the remaining 59, more than half missed the target airbase completely. And those cruise missiles that hit the airbase didn't hit any significant targets. 24 hours later, they were up and running again. And that has sent a message to the world that America's weapons look good and they've got really impressive price tags, but they may not be performing. And so as a result, the world is turning away from America's weapons. Right now, Russia is looking to sell their new MiG-35 fighter, not the Sukhoi 35, but the MiG-35, their true fifth-generation fighter, in more than 30 countries. The countries are lining up to buy these weapons. Remember that big stink when Turkey decided to take a pass on the American surface-to-air missile defense system and went with the Russian S-400, and NATO came on in and said, "You can't do that. You have to buy from America. There will be consequences." So it's getting just a little bit wacko out there. Now, interestingly enough, Lieutenant General Viktor Poznihir, he's the Deputy Chief of the Main Operations Directorate of the Russian Armed Forces, stated at the Moscow International Security Conference that the Operations Command of the Russian General Staff has concluded that Washington is preparing a nuclear first strike on Russia. Now, it would be easy to dismiss this as more fear-mongering, give us more money, except that not too long ago, there were reports from Paul Craig Roberts that his sources inside Washington, D.C. said that, yes, there was serious discussion about just hauling on off and nuking Russia and not get caught up in a ground war that the U.S. is probably going to use. And then the other area of concern for Russia is that the U.S. is collecting Russian DNA for the U.S. Air Force Weapons Laboratory. The implication being that the U.S. is trying to find a bioweapon that will only target Russians based on their DNA. Now, neither of these developments are getting any coverage in the corporate media. All we get is, oh, Russian hacked the DNC email server, and Russia interfered with our election, and Russia is stealing socks out of your dryer, and all the rest of this other nonsense. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Peter in Los Angeles, aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. The most alarming thing that I've read about the military in the last couple of years, I read yesterday on your site about they're now accepting people with mental disorders, bipolar and manic depressive, and people who are suicidal or have attempted suicide, and I think one of the article's titles was, would you want to follow somebody in the combat who heard voices? Another one was, who would want to follow anybody who is suicidal, by the way?
That's another issue there.
It's scary, really. And, you know, add 20 years when these people are field grade officers or above, and it's really going to be scary if we last that long. But
I don't think we will last that long.
One more thing, if I can bring up also, Mike, and then I got to sign off because I got to run. This whole thing about the BDS thing and about how they're now Israel saying, companies, we won't allow companies, or the United States saying we won't allow companies to engage in a boycott against Israel. And remember, Citizens United, where they said that corporations yes. now have the same right to First Amendment rights as people, thus they can give unlimited amounts of money to politicians. So
yes.
it's okay for them to have freedom of speech if it gives them money, the politicians, but not if it's against Israel.
It's hypocritical. It's a double standard, but we seem to live in an age where there's no consistency whatsoever in what's coming out of Washington, D.C. It's all driven by what's expedient for the moment. The reality is, as I recall, there actually is already a federal law that makes it a crime for companies to boycott Israel, and this goes all the way back
to the 70s.
So that law is already out there. But again, you're right. If Citizens United says companies have got rights to First Amendment and boycotts are a recognized form of peaceful protest protected by the First Amendment, then in point of fact, such a law is unconstitutional.
It will, of course, never see the light of day in court, but it's really it's pathetic. But we won't make it that long anyways, because we're going to have, crazy people running the military, crazier than we have now.
I don't know, crazy or corrupt. I mean, I'm still thinking about those 60 admirals who've been caught up in this corruption thing, the Fat Leonard scandal. It's sending the image of a military that is not an effective fighting force. And I think that, seriously,
Mike,
we're going to lose this next one.
Mike, how about one more? How about the two SEALs who are stealing and strangled to death the Green Beret who was going to report them?
Yeah, I saw that one as well. And again, for all this brouhaha about Judge Roy Moore, it's an open secret that there's a lot of sexual assault ever since they started gender integrating the military forces.
I spent a lot of years in the Army. I've told my daughter that there's no way she's ever going to join the military. So,
yeah.
Anyways, Mike, thanks very much, guy.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. We're going to do a shout-out now to our shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. I'm sorry, I'm multitasking right now, and I shouldn't be doing that here. All right, let's take another phone call. Kevin in West Virginia, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Mike, I'm just wondering when this Twilight Zone or Twilight place we live in, when we're actually going to wake up, and this is nothing but a bad dream. This is crazy. My first question is about Sessions. I was
yes.
breaking out my pocket constitution, and I was rereading it over a little bit. What can we do as a people to oust him? Because he's clearly not following the will of the people.
Well, ultimately, the president has the authority to fire him. And, of course, everybody could get onto the White House comment line and say, fire Sessions. I think the only thing that is keeping Trump from doing that is he's probably being told that it wouldn't go over well with the American people, that the American people would perceive it as an attempt to derail the Russia-Trump investigation, making Trump look guilty. But if there was a huge outpouring of open support for Donald Trump to fire Jeff Sessions, then Sessions would be looking for another job.
So, I mean, is that the best course of action that we could possibly take? Or
it's the best peaceful course of action, under our current laws. The American people, unfortunately, do not have standing to sue a government official. I mean, that was taken away a long time ago. Yeah, okay. Even working against our best interest. You know,
wow,
the boss is the boss is the boss.
Right. I mean, I've taken, I'm in college a little bit, and I've taken constitutional law and American civics, 101, and international relations, and now I'm taking local and state government. You know, at the local level, we could actually do something for the state attorney general, but it seems like federally, we're just, whoever he appoints, that's who we're stuck with, and I don't think that's, right, and I'm not calling for a con, because God knows if that happens, the liberals would just destroy the Constitution and rewrite everything that they want to write into it. But, I mean, I agree with you that maybe that is the best course of action, is to everybody call the White House and fire Sessions, appoint a new attorney general. I mean, this has got to stop. This is insane.
Well, I'll tell you, at this point, it's a guarantee that Donald Trump is basically cocooned, and he's only being shown what will get Trump to do what the various agendas want him to do here. And I don't even know if he reads his own Twitter feed. I'm not even really convinced that those are all his own Twitters. They may have somebody sitting there tweeting on his behalf. But he needs to get that message. Fire Sessions, and maybe some demonstrations out in the street with signs. Fire Sessions. And get that message past his censors, his blindfold, if you will, that the American people would be fully on board with him firing Jeff Sessions and getting a real prosecutor in there like Larry Klayman.
Absolutely. Guy from Judicial Watch, right?
He founded Judicial Watch. He's now running Liberty Watch, and Tom Fitton is running Judicial Watch. But yeah, Larry Klayman, he knows what he's doing, and he's got a long, long history of going after corruption in every party.
Is that the biggest log in this log jam we're facing right now, is Sessions? I mean, once he goes, or once Trump does eventually fire him, and I'm speaking hypothetical here, But is that the log that's jamming everything up, or is there other logs along the way that's jamming up, the getting the corruption out of our
Sessions
government?
Is the big one. Sessions is the big one. If Sessions was fired and the message went on out, do your proper job or you're going to be next, then you're going to start seeing some of the other blockers and interferers maybe pull on back.
Okay. Well, they were my questions, sir. I hope you have a wonderful and great day, and may Godspeed be with us all, because this is some crazy times.
Yeah, absolutely. Some very, very crazy times. All right. Thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. Now, getting on down to Yemen, the United Nations is once again out there sounding the alarm that millions are facing starvation in Yemen due to the U.S. Saudi Arabia blockade. And Saudi Arabia made a big deal of opening the port of Aden to say, see, we're letting humanitarian aid in. But then they turned around and they launched two airstrikes on Sana'a's international airport, making it unusable for aid flights. So they're still out there. And basically, there's this article over in Global Research in California, and they do, Canada, they do a lot of really good work. And they're saying, having lost the war, it looks like Saudi Arabia is trying genocide. Because Saudi Arabia went into Yemen thinking it was going to be a slam dunk. They were going to go on in. They were going to slap down the Yemeni people, reimpose the U.S. puppet ruler, and they'd be out and back home in time for dinner. Didn't work out that way. They're stuck in it. It's another quagmire. So it looks like what they're trying is just starving the entire country, if not into submission, to death. And again, that is a war crime. Collective punishment of the civilians is a war crime. Now, turning on over to North Korea. North Korea is now responding to revelations that the CIA is in fact working on a plan for regime change. And a spokesman for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea stated to the KCNA state agency that his country is going to respond severely if the United States tries to change the regime of Kim Jong-un. Now, what they mean by that, we don't know, but it sounds suspiciously like there will be military strikes in response to an attempted regime change. Because now everybody knows that's what the U.S. government's been doing all over the world since the end of World War II. The North Korea further went on to say that the deployment and military exercises of three U.S. aircraft carriers to the Korean Peninsula is increasing the risk of a nuclear war. It's some serious saber rattling when you look at how many aircraft carriers the U.S. has, and it doesn't have that many. Having three of them all together off the Korean Peninsula is sending a very alarming message. Let's take a phone call. Alex in Florida, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, how did Venezuela get in the financial position that they're in right now? And what are the ramifications of Putin or Russia helping them get out of their debt by paying for it and giving them a good loan?
Well, the U.S. has been trying to get into Venezuela for a very, very long time and control Venezuela's oil to make sure that Venezuela's oil is only sold for the U.S. dollar. And they have tried and failed several times in the past. So what they have been doing is applying economic warfare against Venezuela. A lot of it came from that oil price war against Russia because it hit every oil producing nation very hard. And Venezuela got hit hard. Saudi Arabia got hit hard. It actually caused a lot more damage in the West than it did to Russia itself. But taking advantage of that, following with more sanctions and embargoes, they're trying to drive Venezuela into default. And today it actually hit a technical state of default. Along with, again, there's an attempt to regime change Venezuela and bring it under the U.S. influence. That may fall flat on its face because Putin has stepped on in and they're going to pay off a huge chunk of Venezuela's debt. And Venezuela is going to be very much beholden to Russia. At the same time, they're very much aware that the United States was trying to basically take their country over. So the end result is going to be one more country pivoting away from America and to the Russian sphere of influence.
That's right. You have to go with the better offer. I mean,
Ukraine tried to do, and that's what led to the coup d'etat and Poroshenko and all of that bloodshed up there. See, here's the problem. The West can't make a better offer than Russia. Ever since the fall of the Soviet Union, Russia's doing really good. They've got good agriculture, good manufacturing. They've got a good, strong economy. And they're able to go on out. They're making deals. They're building infrastructure. And what does the U.S. have to offer any country? We're going to come on in there and siphon off all your wealth because our money junkies are really demanding payment. Of course, it's a raw deal. That's why Ukraine pivoted to Russia, which led to the coup d'etat. Turkey appears to be pivoting more toward Russia. Iran certainly is. The U.S. is losing the current geopolitical conflict.
Yeah. I mean, they blame, like, even the Brexit election, they blame Russia.
Yes.
For being able to provide them more assistance than we can. And I think that would be
Russia's to blame for my ingrown toenail here. Russia's to blame for the toenail problem I got here. Anyway,
right.
Listen, Alex, Gotta take a break for commercials. Thank you for the phone call.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show, and grab your pencil and paper here, because for those of you who want to keep RBN on the air, keep us getting the truth on out to the American people and to the world, here's the address where you can send a check, money order, box tops, whatever. It's Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And for those of you who want to call on in with a credit card donation, the number is 800-724-2719, extension 03. All right, let's take ourselves a phone call. Mark in North Carolina, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? Hey, Mike, I'm glad you just did that, because I don't do any financial transactions online. So, you know, I'm glad you told me, gave me the phone number and the address now. So,
okay.
As far as Russia goes, what you were talking about, I'm really wondering. You know, it's amazing. Their defense budget is a fraction of what ours is, and yet they have they seem to have an extremely powerful, you know, military. And on top of that, that they're able to bail out a country like Venezuela. When supposedly they're so poor themselves that they can't, that they you know, they have a very small economy and all that. And the other thing I was wondering about is, do you think Russia might decide to start moving missile bases into Venezuela, since we're right on their borders with missile bases in Poland and Lithuania and all those other places?
That might provoke another Cuban Missile Crisis, so I think Russia would be very calm about that. Now, the reason Russia is able to do this with so much less money is people here in the United States of America simply do not grasp how much of our gross domestic product is absorbed through corruption, endless interest payments to the bankers. It is a very warped society where no matter how hard we work, the lion's share of the benefit goes to the bankers and to the corrupt. And certainly that is true within the military-industrial complex. We're seeing, again, holding up the F-35 for the ridicule it deserves, the most expensive air warplane development in history, and it's a piece of junk. And hideously expensive. Now, the reason, as Eisenhower said, is the military-industrial complex is all about the money and the power. And they put out these weapons that are really kind of junky, but as long as everybody's making money, they're happy with it. And again, I want to go on back to the book and the movie The Pentagon Wars, which is based on the true story of the development of the Bradley Infantry Fighting Vehicle. And that's why so much money is poured into the Pentagon, on top of which they keep misplacing it all. They've lost something like $8 trillion with a T over the last 20 years, as far as anybody can figure on out. And in contrast, you have countries like Russia and China that have a more balanced view of running their country, where they spend money on weapons to get cost-effective, efficient weapons. And they're able to get a lot more bang for their buck. And that's why I've been warning a lot of people for a long time, don't think the fact that the U.S. is pouring so much money into the Pentagon is an absolute guarantor of victory, because it absolutely isn't when you look at the immense amount of waste that's going on and the fact that we still have not achieved any kind of a resolution in Afghanistan. We're clearly losing in Syria. We're still mired in Libya. We're garrisoning all across Africa. Our military is overextended. And I think the fact that they're allowing people with mental issues into the military it shows just how thinly they're stretched. The next step is going to be some kind of a draft.
I don't think they dare institute a draft. I think they know that it could start a out-and-out rebellion in this country.
They'll definitely be an uproar. There's no question about that. And that's why they're trying to hold on up. No, what they'll do is they'll stage some kind of a major false flag where our country is attacked and nobody will dare speak against a draft because our country is in danger from the evil Chinese, Iranian, Russian, North Korean, Zimbabwean threat.
But I don't think they think, the American people aren't that stupid anymore. It's not like after 9/11. We got, so much on the internet that we can find out, and most of us get our news from there.
Yeah.
I can't see them doing something like that, Mike. Really?
Well, they might out of desperation, and it could fall flat on their face like Las Vegas did. We'll be back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse of it.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And I want to step back to the political corruption part of our talking points here. Story just came on in from gotnews.com. And according to gotnews.com, they've been looking over paperwork from the Podesta Group. And they seem to have discovered that Tony Podesta and the Podesta Group failed to report over $100,000 in contributions to Hillary Clinton's campaign to the Department of Justice. That may be the reason they're shutting the whole thing down. Tony Podesta resigned, then the new CEO quit, and now it looks like they're just shutting the whole thing down. So, yeah, there's definitely some dirt there as well. Now, getting on back to the military news, the war news, it looks like there may be some kind of a coup d'etat underway in Zimbabwe. And reports are sketchy, But apparently there are military tanks outside the Capitol. And this follows the army commander threatening to step in to calm political tensions over the president of Zimbabwe's firing of his vice president. And Associated Press reported three tanks with several soldiers and a convoy on a road heading toward an army barracks just outside the Capitol. Reuters reported that four tanks were seen heading toward the Capitol. So there may be something going on down there as well. Now, Gordon Brown has come on out basically saying that the Pentagon knew all along Saddam Hussein did not have nuclear weapons of mass destruction, which I'm sure is not going to be a shock to any of you who've been paying attention. It was a lie. It was a lie to start a war. All wars are started with lies. There's never been a time in history where a leader stood up before his people and said, I think you should all march into this country over here and steal all their wealth and bring it back and give it to me. And a lot of you are going to die and a lot of you are going to be crippled, but hey, it'll be a fun thing to do, right? Be laughed off the podium or deposed. Every leader that wants to initiate a war has to lie and deceive their own people into it, has to create a situation in which war looks like the only reasonable choice that they can make. Hitler did it at Gleiwitz. Roosevelt did it at Pearl Harbor. And I think, given the rush to war with all these countries all over, there may be something like that in the offing in the near future. And obviously, next week being Thanksgiving, you've got the Macy's Parade. You've got all the football games. There could be a huge explosion someplace. Oh, it was those gosh darn North Korean, Iranian, Russian, Chinese, Turkish, whoever doing it. Because they're not going to get the American people to go along with more wars, let alone a draft, without doing something that they think will scare the American people so badly that they'll stop thinking and they'll just say, save me from the evil enemy, Mr. Government. So we have to be vigilant for that. Now, as you know, over in Great Britain, there was this Priti Patel who was forced to resign as Britain's international aid minister. When it came on out, she was having secret meetings with Israeli officials during what she claimed was a family holiday. And, of course, there's been a documentary that recently aired in Britain about Britain's Israel lobby. And so bit by bit, the Israel lobby is being dragged into the light. And more British people are starting to say, hey, wait a minute. We're supposed to be running this country. Our government's supposed to be running this country. Now, the honorary president of the Conservative Friends of Israel, Lord Pollack, claims to have recruited four-fifths of conservative MPs and almost every single government minister to a group whose explicit goal is to advance Israeli interests in Britain. And, of course, Theresa May is regarded as one of Israel's more fervent supporters in Europe, which may be one of the reasons why her approval numbers are heading on down. But there should be cause for public indignation. No other foreign state enjoys such unabashed, high-level political support in Britain, and for that matter, the United States of America. So, in Britain as in the United States, the official apparatus turns a blind eye to all of this tampering. Just like we have here in the United States, where Russia today has to register as a foreign agent, but AIPAC does not. Russia is accused without any proof of interfering with our domestic politics, but Israel does it all the time, and that's supposed to be okay. I don't think so. Now, the U.S. Air Force has now officially declared space a new warfighting domain. Now, the timing is a little odd because the new military budget did not include funding to officially start Space Command, which they've been talking about for a very, very long time. And again, I think this would be a horrendous mistake to take war fighting into low Earth orbit, because all it's going to take is a few massive explosions destroying satellites, destroying space stations, and you're going to have all this debris orbiting around the Earth, smashing up other satellites, which will turn into more orbiting debris, smashing up other satellites. It could be a domino effect that would render low Earth orbit too dangerous to fly through. We are just now getting on out into space, to the outer planets. Voyager's already on its way outside the solar system, and we could, with this foolhardy idea of turning space into a new warfighting area, literally lock ourselves back onto Earth, a pre-space age condition. No communication satellites, no TV satellites. Yes, the ones up there in geosynchronous orbit would be safe, but they're going to wear out eventually. And if we can't launch replacements because they're going to be shotgunned on the way up through the lower levels of orbital space, it's all going to be over. Another example of U.S. military training and preparedness. Apparently, a U.S. Navy crewman was hospitalized after he was hit by a plane being towed on the flight deck of the USS Carl Vinson. Apparently, they had to helicopter the guy from the San Diego-based aircraft carrier to Scripps Memorial Hospital. So I guess it was a serious, serious injury. All right, let's take a phone call here. Daniel in Oklahoma City. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to really communicate to the listeners about this. There's these sealed indictments that are happening right now. You have Hollywood, rumor after rumor and accusation after accusation of sexual misconduct. And this is, in my mind, it's going to get bigger. And this goes all the way back to during the election, the WikiLeaks and the Podesta emails. This is real. A lot of politicians are going to go down for these heinous crimes.
I hate to throw cold water on your enthusiasm. A lot of indictments are handed down sealed. We don't know what's in those indictments. We don't even really know who most of them are actually against. And a lot of people are trying to make a big deal over all these sealed indictments, saying that this is proof that there's finally going to be a prosecution. I don't think so. Until they're unsealed and until they go to court and charges are filed, there's nothing there. And I don't want you to get your hopes up prematurely only to have them dashed a little bit further down the road. It's like this thing with Sessions where I'm still seeing all these articles out here where Judge Napolitano's out there about how Sessions is going to get a special counsel to investigate the Clinton Foundation Uranium One. And yet today in his hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Sessions flat out refused a second special counsel looking into Hillary. He only made the announcement yesterday to try and make it look like he's unbiased. And so I'm sorry. I would like to see it happen. I don't think these sealed indictments are really that significant.
Well, if I may put forth a theory, back October 20th of 2016, WikiLeaks tweeted, this is an election, it's a consolidation of power. What I believe is happening is a consolidation of power, the destruction of both parties. Why, I'm not really sure as to why, but I do see it happening because it would destroy Trump's credibility and Trump and his administration to not go after these people, and I see it happening.
I'm in agreement with you on that part of it. He's wrecking his own credibility by not going after the swamp, not going after the narcocracy. But again, this idea of sealed indictments, I think. People are getting their expectations up too high, and I don't want to see them get their hopes dashed down the road because, it's psychologically very wearing out.
Well, in my mind, okay, I feel like they're going to ease the public into this, and they're starting with the Uranium One, and then I think they're going to uncover that, and then once they uncover that, they're going to go to the Clinton Foundation and what they did with Haiti, and then after that, they're going to go look into pay-to-play, and then they're going to start unloading the human trafficking stuff, the Pizzagate stuff, because it's real. And these people need to go down for it, but they can't, put it all out.
Well, I hope you're right, Daniel. I hope you're right, but I've been a serious student of American politics at the national level since 1994, And I've seen these patterns before where they're trying to make it look like they're doing their job, but they don't. There are still sealed indictments in the court system going all the way back to the Nixon administration. Until they're unsealed, they're effectively null. And very often what you have are these lower downs are doing their job and they're preparing the indictments and they get filed and then they're sealed. But until somebody higher up unseals them, that's as far as they go. So I think there's really way too much being made about these sealed indictments. I hope you're right.
We'll
I hope I'm wrong. Yeah, time will solve that mystery.
Keep up the good work.
All right, thanks an awful lot here, and we're going to let you go. And again, we covered this earlier with one of the callers, where the Army is now lowering their standards yet again for recruits, and they're willing to take people who have histories of depression, drug addiction, bipolar disorder. They're self-injuring, and you have to wonder what kind of soldiers they're going to make. And according to this article, the U.S. doesn't need people hearing voices leading troops into battle. Well, mitigating that, and by the way, I don't agree with lowering the standards, because these are people who are going into military situations with psychological problems. Remember Vietnam? They took the very best of our young people, kids who had their act together, and they sent them to Vietnam, and most of them came back with psychiatric problems and drug problems. So it's only going to be worse with this situation. But the Army may be thinking of taking these people and putting them in rear echelon areas, stacking toilet paper, typing forms out, and freeing up more of the mentally capable people for the for those front lines, which in a way is sort of devolution, because the military has always picked the brightest, most intelligent to put out on the point of these combat units in the hope that they're going to be more aware and keep the rest of the unit safe. But as a result, we're literally killing off our potentially most intelligent, most able to contribute to society after the war people in this process. But when war is going on, nobody thinks about the future. Nobody thinks about what's going to happen later on. Nobody thinks about what happens when you dump all these weapons in the ocean at the end of World War II. Nobody thinks about what happens if you turn low Earth orbit into a battleground. Nobody thinks about what's going to happen to the soldiers after they're no longer soldiers. Now, turning over to the economic news, Chinese stocks are sliding because their economic slowdown is continuing. And it does seem that China does have a lot of issues out there. And a big part of it is because China is a manufacturing, exporting economy. And their primary customers for their exported goods were the United States and Europe. And as the economy in the United States has declined, especially the consumer economy, we call it the retail Mageddon, China is selling less of their products. Same thing with Europe. And as a result, China's inflow of wealth has been tremendously reduced, but they're still having to service the payments on all the factories and shipping ports that were built to support that export trade. And that's a big reason why they are in trouble. And it's another reason why globalism isn't really a good idea. Because if you're all linked together globally, then an economic problem in one part of the world drags the rest of the world down with it. A good example of that would be the 2008 meltdown of the mortgage-backed security fraud. If we'd had strong economic borders to go along with our strong national borders, it would have been confined to the United States of America. But because of banking globalism, it dragged down the banks all across Europe and Great Britain. There was all kinds of panicking going on. And the globalists don't think about that. They think it's just going to be one planet. It'll be wonderful. No. I go the opposite view. I think we should have parallel nations. I think we should have a world with maybe 1,000 small nations, each taking care of their own needs domestically. And yes, there'll still be trade and tourism across the borders, but not as a major part of the economy. The globalists want one single planet, and if it works, fine, and if it goes into a global depression, well, gosh, gee, shuckies, that's just the way these things are going to happen. National borders serve the same purpose for the planet that fireproof doors do in a building and watertight hatches do on ships. If you prop open the fireproof doors and you prop open the hatches, it may seem like things are better because you can get around the building or the ship a lot faster, but the first fire destroys the entire building. The first leak sinks the entire ship. the first economic meltdown sinks the entire global economy. And we may see that happen in the very, very near future. Now, even though Donald Trump has pulled out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, China is moving ahead with it. Of course, they're making some major changes to it to basically make it something that really will work for all these Asian countries. But again, Trump is on his way back from his Asian tour. The good news is he's not stopping here in Hawaii. But he didn't really accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. He was received very warmly. They were very polite. But he more or less has walked away with all but an empty hand. He got some symbolic deals made, but he didn't get the major concessions or commitments that he wanted to reshape the Western Pacific in U.S. interests. Now, according to a story that's coming out of Russia today, Russia is now squeezing the U.S. out as an agricultural superpower. And they're talking primarily about Russia's wheat exports are just soaring. They had a bumper wheat harvest. They've got a surplus over there. Prices are lower. And the other aspect is other nations don't want to purchase U.S. crops because of the GMO issue. And that's another factor. And that's why the U.S. is getting ready to wage war on the rest of the world to sort of bring the world back to Bretton Woods. Because without the rest of the world borrowing and using U.S. dollars, the U.S. economy has nothing to support it. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If you got the money,
We got the bombs, we'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York City.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Now, as you know, there's a lot of dramatic changes going on over in Saudi Arabia. There is the purge going on to sort of clear the decks for Crown Prince bin Salman to move forward with his war agenda. And it seems like Saudi Arabia is moving towards a more moderate Islam. They're asserting themselves as a regional power. And a lot of people are saying, what's going on? Is this just the Crown Prince's ego? Or is there something else going on? And one suggestion is that we know oil is finite. And yes, deep crust microbes are producing more oil, but we burn it up faster than those little critters can make it. And the oil has to be reachable in order to be economic. There's probably huge amounts of oil very, very deep in the earth, but we'll never be able to reach it. We'll never be able to get to it. Every time they try and get down really deep to get more oil and gas, they have problems with it, like we saw with the Deepwater Horizon disaster. But it may be, everybody's guessing about how much oil is underneath the Middle East oil nations. But only those countries really know for sure, and more importantly, how much of it can be harvested using current technology. And so there's this article that came on out over at Blacklisted News saying that the Saudis may actually be running out of oil that is profitable to harvest and export. Because when you reach the point where it takes a barrel of oil's worth of energy to get that barrel of oil to the surface, the party's over. There's no way to make it work. And that may be what is motivating Saudi Arabia to start the transition from being an oil-producing exporting nation to a regional power. Now, we know a lot of these countries in the Middle East have wisely used a lot of their oil revenues to build some very modern cities and to try and turn themselves into financial centers. So instead of selling oil to make money, they're going to make money off of other people's money, like Wall Street and London tend to do. Except there's only so much of that you can do before the whole thing starts to fall apart. But that may be what's going on. But another article over in Sputnik News is basically saying these developments in Saudi Arabia may be the end of the collapse of the petrodollar, which is already being challenged by the petro-yuan and soon by the petro-ruble. Now, if war comes to Saudi Arabia with Iran, oil could top $200 a barrel, and you will feel that at the gas pump. And as we're heading into winter, what is going to be a very, very hard winter, people are really going to be hit for their fuel oil bills, for their furnaces to get through that winter. But it's a small price to pay to get those gosh darned Iranians here. As you know, people are heavily invested in metals, and you ought to be. And apparently, two-thirds of the top primary silver miners had production declines in 2017. Again, there's a finite amount of this stuff down there. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
There's an ongoing war right here in America.
Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.